All right, glad to have everyone with us this morning. We're going to begin our time together with a word of prayer. God, we just thank you for being a God that we can come to, a God that we can trust. And Lord, we realize in this time that our world is in, that we need to come to you and just really trust you for what is going on. We know that you are allowing this for a reason, for a purpose. And Father, I pray as we even study today in the realms of setting priorities to you, Lord, that you allow us to just take a step back and just allow us to look around. And Father, that we will refocus. I know you're trying to get our attention in this world. And God, I pray that we pay attention to that and we listen to that. And Lord, as we study your word today, I pray that you quiet our hearts and our minds. I pray that we come together with the purpose of understanding, the purpose of applying the truth of your word. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. This morning as we get into our study, I'm going to get into a study that to me is really speaks volumes of where we are at. I'm going to make a statement, and it's actually the title of our message this morning. Forget the ultimate, and you are enslaved to the immediate. And that is a statement similar to something that Bob Jones had made many years ago, that if you sacrifice the immediate on the altar, then you're basically losing your future. And this is a little way, a different way of saying that. And just forget the ultimate, and you are enslaved to the immediate. And I want to study that a little bit, because I really think in our world we have come to a point where we really focus on the immediate. We've sort of lost our vision. We've lost our focus on looking beyond the immediate moment and realizing that we live in the moments, we live moment by moment. But in this concept, where we set our hearts, where we set our desires, where we set our priorities, to me, is it really speaks volume, because I think we are enslaved to the immediate. And so as we study this, turn in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, we're going to look at the first few verses in that chapter. And just want to talk a little bit about setting the stage about this prophet. Haggai basically, instead of doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, the nation of Israel was gathered together. They're just now coming out of their captivity, not long before. And he became the very first prophet to the God's people as they returned to their homeland. And one of the things that they were told to do was to go build the house of God. They were to go back to their land and build the house of God. As we see, upon their arrival, they laid the foundations for the sanctuary and the work began. But soon hostile neighbors tried to stop their work, and slowly the building project of the Lord's house came to a halt. And there was more than just the hostile neighbors. They began to have some people, most of the workers, became very apathetic. And basically what that is they, even though the rebuilding the project was the very reason why God let them out and freed them after 70 years of captivity, bringing them to the land and then to build the house of God, we find what happened, that as the Darius took the throne in Persia, the temple had lain untouched for 16 years. So we have them coming back with the vision to build the house of God. We have them starting the house of God, but through circumstances, outside and in their hearts, the house of God laid idle for 16 years before Haggai come on scene. And when Haggai come on scene, God called them basically to bring the people back to their priorities. He called them to come back to their vision. Their vision is, this is why we are here. And he called them back to their faith and values. This is why we exist, to glorify our God. And you know, those two things haven't changed. Our vision, again, very important. This is why we are here. Why are we here? Why has God left us here? Why has God allowed our ministry here in this town to continue to thrive, and now through video and through Facebook and social media? And why has God allowed us? Well, what is our vision? Our vision is why we are here. But then our faith and our values are so important into that, because in our faith and values, it's why we exist. It's not why we're here because we're supposed to be here doing this for God, but why we exist is to simply to bring glory for God. Haggai was called, and also along with them, Zechariah was later then called to the same group of people to encourage them to build. And so we have this stage set, and God is coming and speaking to the nation or to the children, and he begins to speak to them by answering this question. What happens when you abandon your highest priority? What does it look like when you and I abandon our highest priority? We know our highest priority is to glorify God. And so when our priorities shift and our priorities change, look at the world we live in. The priorities have changed from the beginning of our founding fathers in the world in which we live. Everything that we once knew is being challenged. Everything that we once believed is being set aside. And so we are living in a world where we have abandoned our highest priority, and that is one nation under God. And now just look what we have. When we abandon that, what happens? What does it look like? Well, obviously, we know that we become enslaved to the immediate. And how many people are living for the immediate moment, the immediate joy, the immediate satisfaction in their life? So we're going to look at this in a way and answering that question as we go along. There's four things we want to look at in answering the question of what happens when you abandon your highest priority. First one we want to look at, as we see in verse 3 through 5 of the first chapter. I'm going to read them and then we'll go back and look at them. It says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." As we look at those three verses, the first thing that happens when we abandon our priorities is the fact that you fail to consider how your actions contradict your faith. Your actions will begin to contradict your faith, because the question that it was applied to them in verse 3, the prophet spoke, verse 4, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?" Is it that important that you begin to live in your own agenda? You begin to live in your own building up of your houses and your businesses and your ways of doing things? Well, the house of the Lord sits in idol. And that's what Haggai was trying to explain to this group of people who came. Basically, the vision was they came out of captivity to build the house of God. And it sat idle for 16 years to this moment. So then verse 4 we see, is it, and then the house of God lying in waste. Verse 5 is important. "For now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Because you are no longer responding to me. You are no longer doing what I've asked you to do. Your actions are contradicting your faith." And I want to tell you, this spoke volumes to me. Man, just look around. Look at some of the Christians. Look at some of the way things are being done. Some of the protests. Some of the ways that they're trying to go against this whole thing we're living in. And you know, when we lose our main priority, our highest priority, our actions begin to contradict our faith. And that, to me, is a very tall sign that we need to really be careful. And the question speaks volumes to me, as the Lord of hosts says in verse 5, consider your ways. Listen, as children of God, we ought to be acting as we've always acted as a child of God. We should be trusting him. We should not be running in fear. We should be able to be out there enjoying and sharing Christ and doing it in a sensible way to where the outside world that doesn't know Christ doesn't look at you as being somewhat of a fool, doesn't look at you as being a protester for the justice. And I shared with a couple other guys the whole concept that many people are just upset because they're losing their choice to go to church. Doesn't mean they want to go. They're just mad because they lost their choice. For a true child of God who has a high priority, the problem is, I can't go. I can't assemble, and I can't wait till we get back. In fact, this is the last filming that we are going to do with an empty church. Beginning June 7th, we are going to open our doors. We are going to hold church as we've held church safely. But I'm excited for that. I can't wait to see some of the faces, the smiling faces coming back in and being able to be excited about gathering together for the Word of God. Priorities set right, your faith will not contradict or be contradicted by your actions. The second thing we see in verse 6. Verse 6 says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. And that's an interesting verse because it brings out both the second and the third point that I want to bring today. The first point out of this verse is obviously the second point we're looking at. You work hard, but you see very few results. When you do not have your priorities set where they need to be set on why you exist, why are you here and why do you exist? Vision, and also again, as we've seen, not only in vision, but in the reality of what you're doing here and glorifying God. When you lose sight of both of those, you will work very, very hard, but you'll see very few results. You'll be putting more effort into it because you're putting in your effort. God's not a part of it. And so when he mentions that in this verse, you have sown much and bring in little. You're working so hard and you have very little to show for it. One of the key factors that we've abandoned our highest priority is that we are working 50 and 60 hours a week, that we are struggling to make ends meet, that we're bringing in all the money, but we have very little to show for it. And I think this very little to show for it, we need to define, because in God's eyes, this little to show for is different than in man's eyes. Because in man's eyes, you could have two houses and all the toys, and you know, people will look at, look, you've got something to show for it. You must have money because you got all the stuff. But in God's eyes, God is the one asking in the question in verse 5, consider your ways, because you're doing all this, but really you don't amount to anything. You're putting all your efforts into something that has absolutely no value to me, to God, and the reason you exist. So we need to be careful, and it's not wrong to have those things. It's not wrong to be able to enjoy some of those things, but it's the priority list that we're concerned with this morning. And he says in that verse that you work hard, but you'll see very few results because you've abandoned your priority. The third thing we see in the last part of this verse, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. The third thing that we realize when we abandon our highest priority is you spend much, but have very little. You spend much and have very little. And so what that means is, man, we're out there working all the money, and man, I'll tell you, this is so, so prevalent in our COVID scenario because so many people were working for that stock, so many people working for the portfolio, so many people were working for that investments. Where are they now? You've put so much money into that investment, and what's it worth now? You have little to show for it. And I think God, in this whole spectrum of the COVID-19 pandemic, I think God is trying to get our attention. God wants to get our attention and say, listen, you've been so caught up, you forgot me. Moses said the same thing to the nation of Israel going into the promised land. One of the greatest warnings that Moses gave the nation of Israel is don't forget your God. And they did, and so have we. Haggai, now a prophet, coming into this scene and saying, you have forgotten your God. The Lord said, consider your ways. Because what I think this verse is saying is God is just simply telling them what they already know, but God is telling them through the prophet Haggai and saying, consider your ways. You're working hard. You have nothing. You're bringing in nothing. You have all this money. You're setting up your businesses. You're building your sealed houses. You're doing all these things for you. And yet what I have asked you to do for me still lays dormant. It's not done. In fact, if you do a study of this and you're reading through the whole chapter, you'll see that God tells him to go up into the timbers, go up into the woods and cut the wood down, because I believe, if knowing the whole story, they're the material that I believe was sent with them to build the house of God, they use for their own meal. They use for their own houses. They use for their own businesses. God says, go up there, get what you need, and come back down and build my house. Very important, and we're going to pull this together in our own lives if we see this. So you spend much, but have little to show for it. The fourth thing we want to see as we pull into this is we find in verses 7 through 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Again, second time he says that. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the houses, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came too little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. God again simply said, and the fourth thing we want to pull out of this is that when we abandon our highest priority, we will feel so dissatisfied with what we accomplish, with what we have. We will never be content. We will always want something. And it's so interesting when God said again, consider your ways in verse 7. Consider what you did. Verse 8 says, go up to the mountains and bring the wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He's telling them, go get the wood, go replace what you've used, go get that wood, build my house, I will be glorified in it, and then things will work. But then verse 9, ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. You are not satisfied. No matter how much you have, no matter how much you want, acquire, you will always be dissatisfied when you abandon the highest priority, and that is to serve God. I truly believe as we see these verses pulled together, and again, the reason for that, if we find in verse 9, why? The Lord simply said, because my house is in waste, and ye run every man to his own house. You see, when I believe the first time we did a video, I had mentioned that you can't shut down the church because we are the church. You may be able to close the building that we worship in, but you can't close us down. But listen, this message, I want to bring it in more personal, individually to our lives. The problem is there have been some Christians who have been shut down because we have lost our highest priority. We have lost our focus. And because we've lost our focus, we ourselves, the church, have been set aside. And it's not so much the building that's lying in waste, it's the Christ that we represent. It's the foundation that was built by the cross. It's the salvation we have in our life. And is the gift lying in waste for you? And see, when we understand how that lies in waste, what we need to do and understand putting that together is that we have a God who simply wants us to continue. So what do we take away from this morning? The first thing we take away is our focus on the ultimate priority, God's house. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that ye are the temple. You and I are the temple of God. So bringing it in personal, we focus on the ultimate priority of God's house. That's what we need to be. That's what we need to be focusing in on. It's our actions still being able to be seen. Is our faith seen in us? Or do our actions contradict our faith because of where our focus is during this time? The second thing we can take away from this is when we fail to prioritize, disappointment always results. Just look over your life. Look over the things in the last couple months. Look over, just take a moment. God is wanting us to just pause and refocus. Because, you know, we're getting ready to open her back up. We're getting ready to come back together as a family of God. But what is that going to look like? What does your personal, private life look like? Is it one where your actions do not contradict your faith? Because just coming here is not what it's all about. It's getting up every morning, putting your feet on the floor, realizing God has given you another day with a purpose, and going out and doing that purpose. When we fail to prioritize, disappointment always follows. The third thing that we can see from all of this morning is it's not about working hard, but it's about working smarter. How can we give our lives more to God? How can we give more of our time to, again, we're talking about the vision. We're talking about why we exist. Our vision, again, is why we're here. Why we exist is to glorify God. Those two priorities, I'm going to challenge you this morning to continue to think through your mind. It has been said this way, it's the 80-20 rule. Priorities in the right perspective allows you to do 20% work with 80% response, 80% results. You put in very little work. Why? Because God's doing the rest of it. God's doing the work. With wrong priorities, you put in 80% of the work and you're lucky to get 20% result. You see, that's the difference of, I think, what we need to focus on, and I think what God wants us to focus on, looking through Haggai, the nation of Israel, they're focusing on all their own stuff, and they let the house of God lay dormant. And my challenge to me and my challenge to all of us is that we refocus our highest priority and don't let the gift of God, Paul told Timothy to stir up that gift. Don't let that gift of God lay dormant in your life. Man, of all times, what an opportunity we have to share Christ. And I always, it was said many years ago, we are all to share Christ everywhere we go and use words if necessary. Let your actions build up the faith, not contradict it. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for allowing us this special time to be able to take the truth of your word and to share it and to challenge our hearts with it. And God, I pray that we are refocusing, that we're not so excited about just coming together, but we're more excited about what we do after we come together as we go out into your world that is beautiful but yet broken. God, use us, work through us to mend some of that brokenness. And God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are today. In your son's name, amen.